Sherlock Holmes, we present The Long Man by Ralph McGregor, dramatized for radio by M.J. Elliott.
A reminiscence of Roderick Langham, late of the Indian Army and the Metropolitan Police. Where to begin? With Holmes? No. With Makedonsky. I arrived at the Star Inn late on Friday night. My haggard countenance lent plausibility to my masquerade as a city stockbroker seeking a tranquil weekend in the country. I was just in time to join the other guests for supper.
What brings you to Alfriston, Mr. Langham?
Long overdue for a break. My nerves are more than a little frayed, Mr.
Edford, Professor of European History at Brasenose College, Oxford.
Indeed. Well, I felt I should get as far away from London and the world of finance as possible. Do you know anything about finance, Professor?
No, nothing at all. My passion is archaeology. That's why Parker and I have come to the South Downs.
Parker's your student?
Yes, he's the eldest son of Sir Roger Parker of Melford Hall. I try to avoid the subject because the fellow's rather too big for his boots as it is. But he's a passable classic student, hence his interest in the Roman remains we've unearthed. To tell you the truth, I suspect his real interest is my daughter.
Do you require anything else, gentlemen?
Nothing for me, Signor Rossi. Langham?
Do you have any cats about the premises?
Cats? No. No, signori, not in the inn.
Thank you. A very good night to you.
Buonanotte.
What's the matter, Langham? Cats give you hay fever?
I can't abide the creatures. Vermin.
Well, I suffer terribly from insomnia, you know.
I have some rather restless nights myself these days.
I always take some light exercise before going to bed. You don't fancy a walk up to see the Long Man, do you?
The Long Man?
The Wilmington Giant. You've never seen him? I stroll over every night to look at him and smoke a last pipe. It's only a mile away. Would you like me to introduce you?
Might as well. There's no sign of...
Of who?
No one. How far did you say this giant is?
Though our host is quite the red...
Signor Rossi?
Oh, absolutely. He's one of Garibaldi's red shirts in the Austro-Sardinian War. Rather curious, don't you think?
Is it?
Well, there he was, fighting for New Italy all those years, and now he's living abroad. Wouldn't surprise me if the fellow was in exile on the... And there he is.
Who?
The Wilmington Giant. Magnificent, isn't he?
I was expecting some sort of statue, Professor. Not this massive chalk figure carved into the hill.
The Long Man, guardian of the South Downs. He's 230 feet high, but he's faded away in the last few millennia, so the local folk marked him out with bricks. I'm excavating at his feet, so to speak. Mind the trees, Langham. Did you know it was very near here that the scientific study of archaeology began?
No, I didn't know that.
Cisbury Knot. It was General Pitt River's first major dig. That's Wilmington Priory over there. The foundations are 11th century, but the ruins are 14th. Come down, I'll show you our dig. It may look quite primitive from up here, but I assure you, Parker and I have approached the matter quite scientifically. Stage one, stratigraphic excavation. Two, the significance of the small find and the plain artifact. Three, the use of field notes, photography, plan maps. Four, the publication of results. And five, the cooperation of indigenous populations.
Sounds exactly like detective work.
What was that about detective work?
I just meant that... I may as well tell you the truth, Edford. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm a detective chief inspector from Scotland Yard.
It's Signor Rossi, isn't it? I knew it! He's a socialist!
No.
A communist, then? No, an anarchist. He's an anarchist, isn't he?
I assure you, Professor, I'm not interested in Rossi. It's Makedonsky I'm watching. But you've met him?
The Russian? Of course, he's a guest at the inn, too. Is he an anarchist?
Actually, he's Macedonian, and no, he's not an anarchist. It's more of a routine observation.
You can't fool me, Chief Inspector Langham. But don't trouble yourself. I'm as loyal a subject as any. You can rest assured no one shall learn your secret from me.
Well, that's very reassuring, Professor. What was that?
Just the wind in the trees.
Yes, I just thought... It startled me, that's all.
You do seem a little on edge. I'm not surprised with all those anarchists trying to kill Her Majesty. And here you have it. Half a dozen separate excavations so far. Every one of them has yielded human remains. But this one here is a rare find. A complete skeleton. We're taking our time with this chap in order to keep his mortal remains intact.
You sure you didn't see something moving over there?
No, nothing at all. Now, join me in a pipe and I'll tell you all about the Wilmington Giant. You see, it's my belief that this figure represents a Wicker Man.
A Wicker Man?
An enormous structure used by the Druids to sacrifice captured Roman soldiers. They trap them inside it, you see, and then burn it to the ground, soldiers and all. Horrible, really.
Yes. Horrible.
Buon pomeriggio, Signor Langham. You have had a restful morning, I trust?
Yes, thank you, Mr... Signor Rossi. It was very quiet at breakfast. I thought you said you were full last night.
Oh, sì, we are. But we have only five rooms. Signor Makatonsky has taken two. Two rooms are taken by Professor Edford and his assistant. They leave very early in the morning and I prepare them the cold luncheon. They are digging for the treasure in Wilmington.
Yes, we walked over last night. And my room makes five. What on earth does what did you say his name was?
Makatonsky, Signor Langham.
What does he need two rooms for?
He uses one for a sitting room. He has had two visitors already this morning.
Yes, I noticed one or two gentlemen go up. Do you know either of them?
Oh, scusi, Signor Langham. Sorry, gentlemen, we have no rooms.
My colleague and I do not require lodgings. We are here to see Mr. Makatonsky.
The two gentlemen left the inn a quarter of an hour later. I waited a further 15 minutes, but Makatonsky had still not appeared. I had recognised his first visitor of the morning by his Russian accent and horribly scarred face. His name was Nevskaya. Well, I was surprised to see him, since Scotland Yard didn't know he was in the country. He didn't stay long. The second visitor was a Scotsman, and obviously a sailor from his dress. Merchant captain, I deduced. He could, of course, have travelled from anywhere, but the nearest ports were Newhaven and Shoreham. Newhaven's harbour was the smaller of the two and the less likely. But I recalled seeing a bark docked there yesterday evening when I passed through. I'd like my buggy, please, Signor Rossi. I'm driving out this afternoon.
I see, signori. The stable boy will take care of it.
As I rode to Newhaven, I considered the two men who'd been the last to call on the Macedonian. One was about my own height, but much leaner, with a prominent nose and chin. His fingers were long and delicate. The hand stained with chemicals. His companion was shorter, with an athletic frame and a slight limp. His bearing, his moustache and the handkerchief in his sleeve showed him to be a former army officer. Who were they, and what did they want with Makatonsky?
Scotsman, you say, sir?
That's right. Glaswegian, I'd say, judging by his accent.
Sounds like the fellow you're describing is Joseph Munro, captain of the Lilian Younger. Your ale, sir.
Thank you. Perhaps a few pints of this will help me sleep tonight. Have the same yourself, landlord.
Oh, thank you. Your very good health, sir.
You were saying... About the Lilian Younger.
Oh, yes. Due to set sail tomorrow, I hear. Bound for Bremen and Le Havre, and then on to Shanghai.
And the cargo?
Oh, they won't tell me. All I know is it hasn't arrived yet.
Hasn't arrived yet? Now, that is interesting.
You're not the first person to think that this morning, sir.
Oh.
That loafer over there.
I see. Pardon me for a moment. Excuse me... I believe we've met before.
I don't meet a lot of gentlemen, sir. I'm sure I remember you.
You were in Alfriston at the Star Inn this morning. You and another man.
Not me, sir. I haven't been to Alfriston in many a year.
Don't lie to me. I'm a Scotland Yard man. I've used disguises to track the Fenians. You can alter your face, but not your hands. You have the same chemical stains I saw at the inn. Now, who are you?
I don't know what you're all talking about. Now, let me by, sir. Let me by.
Who are you? I considered following him, but I started to feel drowsy from the alcohol, so instead I walked up Castle Hill and found a vantage point from where I could maintain my vigil. My persistence was rewarded when, shortly after 8, Nevskaya, the Russian, boarded the Lillian Younger. An hour and a quarter later, with the sun setting, I reclaimed my buggy and returned to the Star Inn. Good evening, Signor Rossi. No night porter?
He arrived for work drunk, signori. I sent him home. I am in charge tonight.
No rest for the wicked, eh?
The wicked?
Oh, just an expression.
Oh, there is a cold platter for you, Signor Langham.
Oh, thank you. Armagnac. Looks as though I might be joining your night porter very soon.
I will lock up now. Buonanotte, signori.
I was grateful for both the supper and the decanter of Armagnac. I took them up to my room and gave full rein to both my appetites. The last thing I remember was lying on the bed and looking at the clock. It was an hour before midnight. What the hell's going on, Rossi?
Scusi, Signor Langham. Buongiorno.
It's not buon anything. I've overslept. There was no hot water and my boots haven't even been cleaned.
A million apologies, signori. But your door was locked and the girl did not want to disturb you.
And what about my boots?
Excuse me, sir. Would you be a guest at this inn?
Of course I'm a bloody guest here.
I'd advise you to moderate your language, sir. I'm a police officer.
Police? Detective Chief Inspector Langham, Scotland Yard. My warrant card.
Scotland Yard?
My apologies, sir. Detective Inspector Brown, local force. One of Mr. Rossi's lodgers was murdered last night, sir.
Makadonsky?
No, sir. Professor Edford.
What?
He was shot to death in Wilmington.
Inspector, pay attention. First, I want you to make sure that none of the other guests leave the inn. Professor Edford had one of his students with him, a young man named Parker. There was also a foreign gentleman by the name of Makadonsky. They both need to be questioned. Have one of your constables make sure nobody leaves the inn. If either of them try to leave, you have my permission to take him into custody forthwith.
Mr. Rossi's just told me that Parker's already left, sir.
Left?
Oh, see. After the boy came to deliver the news, Signor Parker, he spoke to the boy, and then he ran off to the stables and took a carriage.
I see. Brown, where's the body?
Where they were doing their digging, sir, under the long man.
And if you're here, who's in charge there?
Mr. Holmes is looking after things, sir.
I presume that the energetic gentleman examining the scene of the murder is your Mr. Holmes. Would that be Sherlock Holmes of Baker Street by any chance?
Oh, you've heard of him then?
Well, my colleague Inspector Gregson thinks very highly of him.
Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson happened to be in the area, so I took the liberty of requesting their assistance. Dr. Watson, may I introduce Chief Inspector Langham from Scotland Yard?
Inspector Langham? Of course, Gregson tells me he holds you in very high esteem. Didn't I see you at the Star Inn yesterday morning?
You're very observant, Doctor.
Not as observant as Holmes. I would never have found this, for example.
A flattened bullet?
The projectile is complete. Quite remarkable when you consider it entered and exited the Professor's skull before coming to rest in that tree trunk. My guess is .442 caliber.
Army Medical Department, I take it.
Served with the Berkshires.
And your limp, a memento?
A souvenir from the Battle of Maiwand. You're an old campaigner too, Inspector. British Army or Indian?
Oh, Indian. The Sirmaur rifles.
And you brought back your own mementos, I see.
Drumming up trade, Doctor.
It's in my nature to spot these things. You move rather unnaturally for someone of your height.
Well, I'm certainly not the man I was. Skirmish at the Lushai Hills. Strange. I was thinking about that this morning when I woke. No idea why. Well, if your appraisal of the bullet is correct, Doctor, then the weapon was very likely a Webley, Royal Irish Constabulary model. It's the most popular of the .442 cartridge loaders.
Because it fires double action.
I should think you're wearing the exact model on your person underneath your left arm, Chief Inspector Langham.
Congratulations, Mr. Holmes. I'm never without my Webley. But it usually passes undetected because of my height. I see Gregson didn't overestimate your skills.
I've always thought of Gregson as the smartest of the Scotland Yarders, although I confess I haven't met all of the official force. Your own powers of observation are acute also, Langham.
Because I saw through your disguise in Newhaven.
Just a moment. Inspector Brown, my researches here are complete. If you would be so good as to allow Dr. Watson here to examine the body.
Oh, of course. Follow me, Doctor.
I believe your business in Alfriston concerns Mr. Alexander Makedonsky.
How do you know about Makedonsky? And how much do you know about me?
My brother, Mycroft, is employed by the Home Office. He's mentioned a Chief Inspector Langham as the head of Special Irish Branch on several occasions. I must say, you certainly resemble your name.
My name?
Of late, Section D has turned its attention to continental anarchists, has it not? It can hardly be a coincidence that I saw you in the parlour of the Star Inn, where a Macedonian nationalist has taken lodgings.
Well, in that case, may I ask what you're doing visiting Makedonsky, and subsequently disguising yourself as a dockyard loafer in Newhaven?
I have been engaged by Lloyd's to investigate an insurance fraud. I firmly believe the Lillian Younger of Panama to be the Sophie Anderson of Clydebank, reported lost of all hands off the coast of the Outer Hebrides 3 years ago. We can talk more after we hear what Dr. Watson has to say. In the meantime, I'll tell you one thing which may help you with this case, if you'd care to hear it.
Well, certainly, Mr. Holmes.
The murderer is just under 6 feet high, blonde, wore badly worn boots of a size 10, and is an expert marksman. He was no stranger to Edford and arrived at the Long Man some time after the Professor.
And how could you possibly deduce all that?
The science of deduction. I've applied my methods to the scene of the crime, but they're equally effective when put to other uses. In reading your own Book of Life, for example.
My Book of Life?
You served with a Gurkha regiment in India, suffer from chronic sleeplessness, remonstrated with your landlord before leaving the Star, and have recently been engaged in the protection of the Queen.
You don't need me to tell you that you're correct on all counts, Mr. Holmes. And by the way, your description of the murderer matches Parker, Professor Edford's missing student. He's 5'11" in height and fair-haired. And I'm sure he's had plenty of opportunity to learn to shoot at Melford Hall.
My examination shows that Professor Edford was killed between 10 and 2 o'clock last night.
What was he doing out so late, I wonder?
Well, the professor was in the habit of taking exercise before he retired for the night. Like me, he suffered from insomnia.
I see. And will you be taking over the murder investigation, Inspector Langham?
Oh, it's Brown's case, Holmes, but I'd like to satisfy myself that the assassination wasn't a political one.
Is that likely?
It seems I have a confession to make. On Friday night, I told Edford I was a police officer.
Oh, dear.
It was indiscreet, certainly. But I got the impression the professor was more loquacious. It's possible he let something slip in Makedonsky's presence.
But Makedonsky is a small, dark man, which hardly matches my description of the killer.
You're assuming your deductions are correct.
Oh, they invariably are, Inspector.
Well, in that case, the description also matches Nevskaya. He could have done the Macedonian's dirty work for him.
And just who is Nevskaya?
He and Makedonsky served under Karastolov in Kresna in 78. And yesterday, I saw him board the Lillian Younger. Yes. It's all starting to come together.
Is one of you Signor Holmes?
I am.
Ah, a telegram for you, Signore.
Thank you.
Signor Rossi, did you see anything last night after I turned in?
Oh, no, Signore. After you had come back last night, I locked both the doors.
Then how precisely did Professor Edford get out?
Ah, I leave the key to the back door on the peg, but I give the professor the front door key because he say he want to go for his walk before he go to sleep. I hear him open and close the door half an hour before midnight.
And did you happen to hear anyone else leaving then, after Edford?
Oh, I am asleep. But one of the maids say she hear a gentleman leaving by the back door at midnight. This morning I find the back door is locked and the key is in place. The front door is also locked, but there is no key.
Thank you, Signore. That will be all for now.
Oh, and once again, my apologies for your not being woken this morning. And your boots, Signore. I sent the stable boy up to clean them at 11 o'clock last night. He says he did, but I have a dog at his pay.
Well, don't worry about that now.
A mille grazie, Signore.
So, another guest left during the night.
Parker or Makedonsky?
And did they leave to follow the professor or for another reason altogether?
Since Parker is no longer on the premises, I suggest we question the other guest on that subject.
So, you are not Langham the stockbroker. You are Langham the secret policeman.
I am Detective Chief Inspector Langham of Scotland Yard. You've already met Mr. Holmes and Mr. Watson, I understand.
Of course.
Mr. Makedonsky, what exactly are you doing in a country inn on the South Downs?
I did not kill Professor Edford. I came back to my room after supper, and I did not leave it until I went down to Rossi's excuse for breakfast this morning.
You haven't answered the inspector's question.
I am taking the country air for my health.
No, you're not.
I think you'll find, Inspector, that Mr. Makedonsky is organizing an armed expedition. When I asked you where the Linnean Younger was bound yesterday, what did you tell me?
You remember as well as I do, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, I do. Hong Kong via Bremen and Le Havre.
And yet the crew are under the impression they're destined for Shanghai.
You would do well to pay attention to details, Mr. Makedonsky. The bark is in fact bound for Macedonia, is it not?
Have I committed any crime in this matter?
I believe you are unaware that the Linnean Younger is in fact the Sophie Anderson.
Did you leave your room at all last night?
No, I did not.
Did you hear anyone else leave?
No.
Oh, he's lying.
No, I don't think so. It would be extremely foolish to murder a hapless archaeologist while plotting another uprising, would it not, Mr. Makedonsky?
I ask again, what are you really doing in Alfriston?
I am financing a trading expedition, Inspector. I was not aware of any subterfuge regarding the Linnean Younger. My associate, Mr. Nevskaya, and I will sail from your shores tomorrow afternoon. Never to return, I hope.
You'll have to use another bark to transport your arms and ammunition.
Quite so. The Linnean Younger was impounded this morning, and its captain placed under arrest.
I see. That is most disappointing.
What about Edford's murder, Holmes? If the Macedonian had nothing to do with it, then the killer must be either Parker or Nevskaya.
I am convinced, however, that the professor knew his killer.
Then that only leaves Parker. What exactly are we doing back here, Holmes?
This is where it all began, Langham, at the feet of the long man. Inspector Brown, did you do as I asked?
I did, Mr. Holmes. I tracked down the boy who delivered the note to the Star Inn.
And he said?
That in addition to relaying the news about the professor's murder, he gave a telegram to young Mr. Parker.
And did the boy know what was in the telegram?
I'm afraid not, sir.
So perhaps Parker's flight had nothing to do with Edford?
Oh, impossible!
Far from it. I, too, received a telegram today. Sir Roger Parker of Melford Hall had died yesterday. That was the news the boy delivered this morning.
You knew this all the time?
Not all the time. But you must agree, Inspector, that this certainly explains young Parker's disappearance.
You don't know everything, Holmes. Your description of the murderer was wrong for a start.
No. In which respect?
Well, his height. You said he was just under 6 feet tall. You deduced that from the length of his stride, yes?
Go on.
You failed to take into account the possibility that he might be in poor health, and that his weakness might reproduce the signs of a shorter man.
When he was actually taller.
My own height, in fact. Or yours.
Mr. Holmes, what are we really doing out here?
I thought it would be best to have this discussion away from the staff at the Star Inn. Would you be so good as to show Inspector Brown your revolver?
My revolver?
If you please.
Well, very well.
Recently cleaned. Very recently.
I don't remember cleaning it.
Inspector Langham, you told me when you awoke this morning you were reminded of a skirmish in the Lushar Hills.
Well?
Was it the smell of gunpowder that triggered that memory?
I woke up late, rubbed my eyes and smelled.
You cleaned the revolver, but not your hands.
And my boots. The boy did clean them. But they got dirty again when I... Oh, my God. It was me. It could only have been me.
Dr. Watson is of the opinion that you were not aware of your actions. I may have fallen into error over the height of the murderer, but you could not have deceived me had you known.
The alienists call it dementia. I'm afraid I noted the symptoms as soon as we met.
Mr. Holmes, Doctor, are you sure about this?
Oh, they're sure, Brown. And so am I. I returned from Assam with my vision slightly impaired and an ague and a hatred of cats. But I was always convinced there was something else. You'd better put the derbies on me, just in case. Well, it didn't end there. The Holmes, of course, spoke in my defence at the trial.
While this incident is certainly unprecedented in the annals of British crime, there are instances of what Dr. Watson terms homicidal somnambulism occurring in other countries. And my friend François Le Villard has provided me with the details of the case of Inspector Robert Ladroux, the Sûreté's foremost thief-taker. Ladroux actually solved the murder he himself had committed. I have no doubt Chief Inspector Langham would have done the same had I not been present.
Well, Doctor, what do you think of it?
It's an interesting account.
I admit it's not up to your standards, but I hope to improve. I'll have plenty of time in the future. Well, for the remainder of my life, in fact, since the death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment in this institution.
I am sorry.
Oh, don't be. It's clear I'm a danger to others. I should be locked up at the very least. I wanted to ask, Professor Edford, did he have any family?
Only his daughter. You remember he thought that young Parker was interested in her?
Oh, Lord, so he did. I am so sorry. I wonder if I should write to her. Try to explain. But I can't explain, can I? I killed a man I hadn't a thing against, and I can't even remember it. You know, I neglected my own family to the point where the distance between us seemed impossible to bridge. When my son Albert died of consumption, I didn't shed a single tear. I just didn't have it in me.
You're a sick man, Inspector.
Ex-Inspector. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be brusque. I'm very grateful to you for coming to see me. I know you have your practice and your work with Mr. Holmes, but would you visit me again?
Whenever I'm able.
Will you take a message back to Mr. Holmes?
Of course.
Tell him I know what he meant now.
About what?
Well, when we first met, he said I resembled my name. This hospital has a well-stocked library. I've learnt that the name Langham is derived from long, meaning tall. I see what Holmes meant when he said I resembled my name.
I see. Then it seems the Wilmington giant wasn't the only long man.
You've been listening to The Long Man by Ralph McGregor, dramatized for radio by M.J. Elliott. You heard Jim Crozier as Sherlock Holmes, Dave Hawkes as Dr. Watson, and Jesse Powis as Inspector Langham, with M.J. Elliott as Professor Edford, Vince Webb as Senior Rossi, Mark Preston as the pub landlord, Brian Adrian as Inspector Brown, and Danny Segeth as Makadonsky. The play was recorded at Pigpen Studio by David Booth and John Rhodes for Hozzie Prog Productions. The producer was Roger Johnson.